ويشوار برا مقطع بكاية نام چاہے رہتا کو کی جائیں فرم سو ہو سری کرشن چیتنی پربو نیچن اندر سی ریڈی ملان آشن سو گھر بات پرن کی جائیں سری سی رادہ کرشن گو 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 رہا تھام گو گو رہا کو دیدی گو ردان کی جائیں سری بندہ بندہ کی جائیں نا پتہ دام کی جائیں گو مجھے مون رو سی بخت دیوی کی جائیں انا نگوری بائیش نا پر بندی کی جائیں ساما بیت باکر بندی کی جائیں گو پریمن اندی Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate
vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Namo Vishnu Krishna Masai Buddhale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nityanaman Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Prasadane Nirvishesha Srinivasa Prasadesha Tarane Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nishananda Sri Hari Gadadhara Shri Prabhupada Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Bhava Kanapur Chapter 20 Verse 32 Maitreya Vacha Vidhi Adi Rajana Nuta Sa Vishpadrik Dham Aha Rajan Mai Bhaktir Astu Te Dishya Nidrasi Dhir Mai Te Kirta Yaya Mayam Madiyam Karati Sma Dushya Jam Maitreya Vacha Vidyadi Rajena Nutasa Vishpadrik Tamaha Rajan Mai Bhaktir Astute Jiste Drisi Dir Mai Te Krita Yaya Mayam Madiyam Karati Sma Dushya Jam
Thank you.
Maitreya.
Maitreya.
Vacha spoke iti thus Adirajana by the original king. Nuta, being worshipped, Sa, he, Vishwadrit, seer of the whole universe, come unto him, aha, said, Rajan, my dear king, my, unto me, bhakti, devotional service, astu, let it be, te, your, disya, my good fortune, Idrasi, like this, the intelligence, my, unto me, te, by you, krita, having been performed, yaya, by which, mayam, illusory energy, madiyam, my, karati, crosses over, sma, certainly, yusjajam, very difficult to give up. Translation of the great sage Maitreya continued by saying that the Lord, the seer of the universe, after hearing Prithu Maharaja's prayer, addressed the king, my dear king, may you always be blessed by engaging in my devotional service, only by such purity of purpose as you yourself very intelligently express, can one cross over the insurmountable illusory energy of Maya. Purported is also confirmed in Bhagavad Gita, wherein the Lord also claims that the illusory energy is insurmountable. No one can transcend the illusory energy of Maya by a crude of activity, speculative philosophy, or mystic yoga. The only means for transcending illusory energy of devotional service, as the Lord Himself states, Mam Evade Prapadya He Maya Eti Turatate. If one wants to cross over the ocean of material existence, there is no alternative than to take devotional service. A devotee, therefore, should not care for any material position, whether in heaven or in hell. A pure devotee should always engage in the service of the Lord. That is his real occupation. Simply by sticking to that position, one can overcome the stringent laws of material nature. Translation, the great sage Maitreya continued by saying that the Lord, the seer of the universe, after hearing Prithu Maharaja's prayer, addressed the king, my dear king, may you always be blessed by engaging in my devotional service by such purity of purpose as you yourself are intelligently expressing when cross over the insurmountable illusory energy of Maya. So we have various processes summarized as Karma Yoga, Yag Yoga, Sangha Yoga, and Bhakti Yoga, which are also mentioned in the Bhagavad Gita and explained to some degree. You'll find the same processes mentioned in the Bhagavatam in different places. Though they are all mentioned at the same time, we should not think they're all equal. So here it is stated that one can only cross Maya by the process of bhakti. So therefore, that means the other processes do not achieve that. Therefore, they cannot be equal. However, we do hear that by jnana one gets liberation, which means one crosses over Maya. And also in yoga, if one attains the goal of yoga, then that goal also is to cross over Maya. So we could say that jnana, yoga, and bhakti allow one to cross over Maya. But that is contradicted here because the Lord is saying only by bhakti one can cross over Maya. So then, what does it mean when we say jnana gives liberation? Or crossing over Maya, that's a contradiction. So the answer is that by itself, jnana cannot attain or give liberation. It also needs the assistance of bhakti. So it is the bhakti in the jnana which allows one to get liberation. Then there's no contradiction. And the same will go for yoga.
if the yoga is devoid of bhakti, one cannot get liberation. If there is some bhakti in the yoga, then one can get liberation. So that means that the bhakti gives the liberation and not the jnana or the yoga. Though we generally say that by jnana one gets impersonal liberation, it's not actually true. It is jnana with some bhakti, then one gets that liberation. That means that these other processes are dependent on bhakti to give their results. And if they don't have bhakti, they will not give the result of liberation. So, then this way, the statement here is true, that only by bhakti one can cross over the material world. Without it, one can certainly progress and become purified, but one cannot get ultimate liberation. So, therefore, what the Lord says here is very, very true. So we have to understand all the other statements made in Bhagavatam and in the Bhagavad Gita in that context. Understand that the other processes are not independent. Bhakti, however, is independent. It does not need karma, nor does it need jnana. It can succeed without those. Sometimes they may be mixed together, or there may be some practice of these elements. And then we have mixed bhakti, we'll have karma mistra bhakti, or jnana mistra bhakti, yoga mistra bhakti. But the Lord also recommends that it's better to do pure bhakti with no mixture. That is preferable. So we do bhakti alone. Or if we do the other processes with a little mixture, we should never be attached to them at all. And at any point we can give them up. This means that bhakti actually is independent of the other processes and does not depend upon them. So even if we give up all other processes, only do bhakti, still we get the result. And if we do other processes, sometimes we will not get exactly the same result. We will get some diluted result. Nevertheless, it is better than the results of jnana or yoga or karma. So in this way, we should understand that bhakti is special. It is not in the same category as the other processes at all. And it gives life to the other processes. Without them, the results cannot be achieved, the liberation or even the elevation of Swarga Loka. So therefore, even in Karma Yoga, one cannot reject the worship of Vishnu. Vishnu must also be worshipped, even if one worships other devatas, one must also worship Vishnu. And it is that worship of Vishnu that allows one to get the result of going to Swarga Loka or Brahma Loka or whatever. So worship of devatas also is not independent of worship of the Lord. If we really want to get results, we also have to worship. We have to worship Vishnu. So in this way, karma, jnana, and yoga depend upon bhakti. And bhakti does not depend upon the other processes. So we may do some of the activities of these other processes in the material world. For instance, we see the great kings follow Dharma or Karma Yoga, like Kritu or Ambarish or Swayambhuva Manu. They also follow the principles of Dharma. But they also were not attached to those principles, and they could keep them up also. So they were practicing for a certain purpose, that is, for the benefit of the common people, to set good example. But it was not necessary to do those activities because they were already doing bhakti. So to get results of bhakti, we don't have to do karma. Those who don't do bhakti should do karma, and that karma must also be mixed with a little bhakti. So to set a good example for the common people, they also indulge in these different activities of karma yoga. But we should understand it's not a necessary activity. And we should, because bhakti is not dependent on the other processes, we should not think that these processes cause bhakti. So karma yoga does not cause bhakti, and jnana does not cause bhakti, and yoga does not cause bhakti. Because these practices are in the gunas. Karma yoga is in Rajaguna. And jhana and sangha yoga are in sattva-gana. So they cannot cause bhakti, because bhakti is beyond the yogas, it's nirvana. So gunas cannot create nirvana. So that is why the stress in the Bhagavatam is upon association with devotees. That is the cause of bhakti, not karma yoga or jnana yoga or sangha yoga. So the emphasis is put upon association of devotees. So by that association, bhakti arises, which means that the devotees of the Lord have bhakti and they impart that bhakti to others. So bhakti is the cause of bhakti, not anything else. So in this way, bhakti is completely different from all the other processes. So if one practices the other processes and rises in the gunas, that does not automatically mean one can take to the process of bhakti. No, one may just become a jnani or a yogi. So in order to practice bhakti, one has to get the association of devotees. And if the karmi or the jnani or the yogi gets that association, he may practice mixed bhakti. Or if he's very fortunate, he may practice pure bhakti. He may give up the karma yoga, the jnana yoga, the asanga yoga, and simply practice pure bhakti. So that is by the influence of the devotees. So we should understand that karma, jnana, and yoga are not causes of bhakti. They are causes of rising in the gunas, and getting out of tamoguna and getting out of rajaguna. But they are not causes of bhakti. We should not mistake these other processes and think that somehow or other they're necessary for bhakti. No, they are, on the other hand, unnecessary. Right? We do bhakti alone, and there's no problem with that. So that is the final teaching of Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita. It's called bhakti. Just give up all of the dharmas. Right? This is, of course, a glorification of the process of bhakti. It is very strong. So even if we don't practice getting out of the, rising in the gunas through karma and jnana, etc., still, bhakti accomplishes that also. Whatever karma and jnana and yoga can accomplish, bhakti also accomplishes. So it allows one to get rid of tamaguna and rajaguna, tamaguna and sattvaguna, but it also transcends sattvaguna. So this is the distinction quality of bhakti. So that is the principle enunciated in the Srimad Bhagavatam and in the Bhagavad Gita. So we should not be confused when we see these other processes praised. In the Bhagavatam we'll find Prahlad go through all elaborate description of a Varnashram system. And again, in the 11th canto, Krishna speaks Uddhava about that. Then again, we have jnana mentioned in the 3rd canto with the teachings of Kapila. And again, in the 11th canto, Krishna speaks Uddhava about jnana. And then yoga, again, is mentioned in the 2nd canto, the 3rd canto, and in the 11th canto, and glorified. But we should not think, therefore, that Krishna or the different sages are recommending these processes. No. It says in Bhagavad Gita they are mentioned, but they are not the ultimate process. So though they are mentioned in the Vedas for people that don't take the bhakti, the recommendation in Kali Yuga is don't do the processes at all, simply do bhakti. So that is the final conclusion. So that is what Narada Muni recommended to Vasudeva. Don't confuse the people with these other processes. And worship of devatas simply happen through bhakti. So that is the purpose of Bhagavatam. The other Puranas which Vedavyasa wrote praise Shiva and praise the worship of Pitras, praise the worship of Brahma. So Narada Muni said this will confuse the people. They will get stuck on a lower level and they will never advance from that level by getting stuck in karma yoga. So better they simply do bhakti. This is a process which can give the results of everything for everybody. So that is the recommendation of Narada Muni, and Vedavyasa therefore wrote the Bhagavatam in such a way that though he mentions the other processes, nevertheless it is not meant that we practice these processes. And therefore, at the beginning of Bhagavatam says, this Purana is, it rejects all cheating dharmas, which do not give the ultimate result. So that means that karma, jnana, and yoga are ultimately rejected as cheating dharmas, because they don't give the final result. So that is the essence of the Bhagavatam. And of course, the other particular point of Bhagavatam, not only do bhakti, but we do bhakti to Krishna. This is the special point. This will be the solution for everyone in Kali Yuga. They should concentrate on the worship of Krishna, because Krishna is Swayam Bhagavan. So these are the say the essential messages of Srimad Bhagavatam. And here we see that the Lord is making this point to Prithu by saying that just do bhakti. This is the process which will accomplish crossing over Maya. But we should not think this is the ultimate goal of bhakti, is to cross Maya. That is the goal of jnana and yoga. So it does this, but it also does more than that. So we should also take this statement as a final statement. So bhakti allows one to cross over Maya, but that is a secondary effect of bhakti. That is not the final conclusion of bhakti. That is just as Bilvamangala Thakur says, that bhakti and mukti stand as maidservants, and they're begging to serve him. That is, they're offering svargaloka or brahmaloka karma, or they're offering liberation. But as a devotee, I kick them away. I don't want these things. Okay? So these things are offered to the devotee also, bhakti and mukti, crossing over the material world, surpassing Maya, etc. But the devotee finds these not conducive for bhakti, so he doesn't even want them. So what does Bilvamangala Thakura want? He only wants to serve the Lord. So to attain the Lord and serve the Lord, that is the goal of the devotee. Not crossing over Maya, not getting relief from material distress, whatever, going to Svargaloka, or getting Brahman realization. These are not the goals of the devotee. By attaining that service of the Lord, yes, the devotee crosses over Maya anyway. He is free from all dangers, free from all miseries. But his goal is simply to serve the Lord eternally. So that is the goal of the devotee. So the devotee achieves much more than the Jnani or the Yogi or the Karni. If they do a little bhakti, they could come to that level and attain mukti. If they don't do bhakti, they can't even get mukti. No, Vishnu also. Yeah. So they have to do a little bhakti. So the yogi meditates on karma, the form of Vishnu. That allows him to get liberation. And the jnani must also worship Vishnu. And if he rejects Vishnu and creates aparad, then he cannot attain liberation. Yeah, some degree they have to respect Vishnu. It's not their main worship, but they also have to do it a little bit.
You may think that Vishnu to be a personal aspect of worship.
Yeah, then that becomes aparad, then you cannot get liberation.
But then the definition of jnani itself is worshiping.
Yeah, he may prefer that, but he should not reject the form of the Lord also, because it is the form of the Lord who actually gives liberation. So if he does aparad against the Lord will not give him liberation. So he must also worship the Lord, even if he wants impersonal liberation.
No, Bhagavad-gita says, Vedas is dealing with the three modes of material nature. Dealing with the three modes of material.
Yeah.
Come to the level of Brahman.
Well, three modes is not even Brahman. Brahman is beyond the three modes. Brahman is beyond the three modes of nature.
Yeah.
So simply going beyond the modes is not enough. That is mukti.
Uh-huh. it feels like it must go beyond the three modes of the thing. It is really only the Vedas.
Yeah.
The Vedas should be more than the three modes of the thing.
Yeah, and Gyana and the Vedas, the Upanishads deal with beyond the modes, mukti. But even that is not enough. So when Krishna says the Vedas deal with the three modes, that is the Karma Kanda section he's talking about. They also mention bhakti, they also mention jnana. But a prominent section is three modes of material nature, which is karma yoga. Now jnana, of course, in itself is also in the modes. As I said, it's in sattva guna. But its goal is beyond the gunas. Mukti, which is beyond the gunas. But that mukti cannot be reached unless one also does the full bhakti.
You know, if one has to become free from one wants liberation, then one wants to become free from the contamination of the three modes of the three nature.
Yeah.
So liberation alone is not really enough.
Well, one can get, if one gets Brahman realization, one is beyond the modes.
Yeah.
But to get that, one has to also do a little bhakti besides the jnana.
So they'll come back again to the material.
No. Once they get that, they don't.
Mr. Stoker Thoba says that if you're a devotee, how to speak of material desire? He doesn't even desire spiritual desire.
No, well, he doesn't want, his desire is not to attain Vaikuntha or to attain a form like the Lord. Sarupya, all these things are also types of mukti. So the devotee does not demand these things, that's not his goal. His goal is service to the Lord. He will accept those things if they're favorable for his service. And if they're not, then he doesn't accept them.
When a female that could say, I don't want spiritual liberation,
yeah, because by association with devotees, one develops pure bhakti.
It means that bhakti, devotees should not ask for anything.
Just for service, pure service.
Prabhupada is giving that plain bhakti.
Yeah.
That plain bhakti. So, but after many, many years, some achieved it, not in one lifetime.
Yeah, and generally it takes many births, that is sadhana, the process of sadhana. It may happen quickly if one gets kripa siddhi. And it may happen very quickly. As in the case of Murgari the hunter, 3 months he got bhava. Well, if he's sincere, then he will strive to get some knowledge, and by that knowledge he understands the difference between mixed bhakti and pure bhakti, and he tries to practice pure bhakti, and then he has to put forth some endeavor to do that. If he puts forth the endeavor in bhakti, then he will become purified of all these material desires.
Thank you.